Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dating Talk with matchmaker and dating coach Kiki Strickland. Single ladies, for advice on dating and relationships, join us here every Saturday. And check out KikiStrickland.com for products and services for the single who wants to be married. And now, here's Kiki.
Good morning. Hi, singles. Thank you for joining us. So I'm Kiki Strickland, your matchmaker and dating coach, helping you find the love you've always dreamed of. And as most of you know, I work with singles on improving their love lives. And that means working out any issues that may be hindering you from finding the one or from being successful in a relationship. I also provide introductions if it turns out you are a fit for one of my matchmaking clients. I've been working with singles since 2006, before it became popular to be a matchmaker and dating coach, really before people even really knew that the average person could have a matchmaker. I think people thought you had to be wealthy back then to actually have someone that would scout for you and find potentials for you. A little bit more about me. I have a degree in communications from Howard University, and I have 3 different coaching certifications, including a relationship coaching certification and a regular life coach certification. And check out last October's Ebony magazine. I was featured in that with a couple of other African-American matchmakers. They said that we were the top matchmakers in the country. I want to give a shout out to my groups, my meetup groups out there. And yes, ladies, you should be on Meetup if you aren't. Meetup.com, check it out. Put it in Google, meetup.com, and put in your zip code and see what comes up. All right, so if you would like more about me or to read my full bio, check out my website at kikistrickland.com, K-I-K-I, strickland.com. So today we are continuing on with dating revelations. I think I called this one, so God told me that he is my husband, because in doing my research, I found a blog and an article with that title, because apparently it is very common that men and women feel like they have heard a directive from the Lord, a specific word from the Lord about another person. And in the last episode, in part one, I talked about different things that had happened in my life and different things that had happened with other people, and how I now feel like you have options. The Lord is not going to force you to be with one specific person. And we're going to talk a little bit about that more today. And I realized I had more examples. And even in my life, different things had happened around this topic. So I'm going to share those too. But when we left off, I was talking about NehemiahMinistries.com, how there was a minister who had been using this particular song at different weddings, and including his own wedding. And the song proclaimed a belief that Christians, this is what he is saying in his article at NehemiahMinistries.com /match. It says, Christians have long held the sacred belief that God predetermines whom you marry. And he said it's a myth. This is the myth, he says. If he wants you to be married, he has one ideal choice in mind. And he works in many mysterious ways to bring you to the one for whom you are destined. He says this is wrong. The belief that God has one ideal choice also leads some to be too idealistic about whom they would consider marrying. Since God is perfect, it is felt that you must not settle for anyone who is less, anyone who less than fully measures up to your image of the ideal mate. And such persons are quick to bail out of a relationship at the first sign of another's imperfections, while others wait endlessly for that perfect relationship that never comes along. So he's pretty much saying people are setting themselves up to be expecting things to be perfect, if they're believing that it's the Lord that brings your mate, that you don't have the choice, that you're thinking that since God is perfect, that this other person is going to be perfect. You know, nobody is perfect. And I think we know this down deep, that you aren't perfect. So how is he going to put you with somebody perfect? If the other person was perfect, then that person probably would not want to be with you because you're not perfect. But sometimes I think we get so spiritual that we kind of put things in this different light, and we're feeling like you don't have to do anything. The Lord is going to bring this person, and this person is going to be perfect. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But going along with Nehemiah Ministries, he also says, I'm comfortable with the thought that God can give us full freedom to choose and act on the human level, yet still on a deeper, more mysterious level, ordering what we do in light of a preconceived plan. My experience, though, is that most Christians do not find this notion helpful when it comes to decisions related to marriage. In an area as deeply personal, life-changing, and far-reaching as moving towards marriage, it is vital that we be guided by the most clear and obvious teachings of Scripture and guard against getting sidetracked by speculative notions. Certainly, God has told us what he wants us to know clearly and straightforwardly in the Bible. So he's saying that everything that we need to know and all the words that we need to hear about it are already written in the Bible, and that you shouldn't be looking out for these speculative notions. God told me this person is my mate, for example. So that's just one minister's example. And like I said before, you may be one that either feels like you don't do anything, and that if the Lord wants you to be with somebody, he's going to hit you over the head with that knowledge and with that person. I've even heard some ladies go so far as to say they're totally running away from dating and marriage and any kind of thought about having a mate. And if the Lord wants it to happen, he's going to have to basically force them to see this person. And I dare say those people probably are still single. And they wouldn't say that about other areas of life, but for some reason, this whole mate thing has people tripped out, and they just want to believe, I don't want to say woo-woo, because that usually means new age stuff, but they just believe that there's going to be like this parting of the clouds, and the light is going to shine down on the person, and that's how you're going to know. So if you believe that, it could happen. I'm not saying that it can't ever happen that way, but I do want to talk about some more instances where people thought they were hearing the Lord, and really it was just their desire. I talked about some ways to know if this really is God, too, and we'll go over that again. But let me tell you a little bit about more about my example from that church, because people are always asking me more questions about that church that I was a part of. And I told the story about how when I was in college, I joined this church, and it had these controlling cult-like tendencies, and I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it until something happened where the assistant pastor, who was the pastor's wife, actually told us that we were all under the pastor's control and that he was doing things to manipulate us, the whole church, and even his family. And a lot of people left at that time. And that's when people's eyes started to be open. So I did mention that they had this teaching about mates and how they taught that the Lord would speak to you about the person that you're going to marry, and that God would speak to the other person and to the pastor, and that the pastor would confirm it all, and that you weren't supposed to go to the other person and talk about it. You weren't even supposed to tell them that you were interested in them or that you thought you heard the Lord. You were just supposed to go to the leaders that were over your outreach. There are different outreaches in different locations. And you were just supposed to go to the leaders over your group and just let them know, and then they would relay the message to the pastor. So actually, I had that happen with one particular guy. But it didn't happen the way that they taught. We actually had ended up talking about it amongst ourselves. I was going to a different outreach, and he called me, and we were talking, and I knew that he liked me. And I liked him, too. And I actually said something during that conversation that let him know, which was supposed to be totally not done as far as the teaching in this church. So we knew that we were being disobedient by even having that conversation. But one of the things that the guy said during that conversation sent off some alarms in me. We were talking about how we did like each other and how since I was moving to another outreach, what we were going to do, how we were feeling about it. And one of the things that he said, though, he said, if this is not God, I want no part of it. And I remember thinking at the time, if we are both feeling like we like each other, then how could it not be God? I remember that I was a little confused, and I felt like he was saying something outside of us was making this decision for us. And it didn't feel right to me. It felt like, well, I'm telling you that I like you, and you're telling me that you like me. So why wouldn't it be God? I just didn't understand. And furthermore, we did tell the leaders over our outreach how we felt and that we had talked about it. And then they went to our pastor. And the message came back from the pastor that he felt like it wasn't time for us. That if it was the Lord and he wasn't saying yay or nay either way, he felt like we were not ready to pursue that and to just leave it alone. And I remember getting upset about that and feeling like, wait a minute, I'm like 25 years old, 26 years old. And the guy was like 34, 35 or something, a lot older. And I was thinking, how can this pastor tell us that we're not ready for a relationship when we have already talked about it and feel like we are? So I really felt, in theory, that whole teaching had sounded good, but in actuality, when I was in the midst of it, I was kind of feeling like, no, this can't be right. How is he going to tell us that we're not ready when we're grown? Then, because I was admonished not to pursue anything with him, with that guy, I decided that his roommate, who was one of my friends, we were both praise leaders together. So I felt like this guy, I could get close to him and find out things about the first guy through him. And unfortunately, it turned out that my being nice to his roommate and being really friendly with his roommate made the roommate think that I was his mate. So now I had this other guy who went to the pastor saying he thought I was his mate. And it was just because I was nice to him and being really good friends with him. And that also showed me that if a person can think that you're their mate just because you have a friendship with them. So I was kind of breaking this whole teaching down and thinking something is really wrong with this, even before the big blow up and the controlling issues came out. It turned out that guy number one, the guy that I had talked to originally about being mates, as we called it then, ended up thinking that this new girl who had come to the church, this really young girl, was his mate. And everybody that was a part of that Howard outreach was up in arms over it. It was really a crazy situation because the girl was really, really young. And he, like I said, was in his 30s. So then we were like, well, how could this be gone? And the pastor is going to approve this? So it was a big mess. And I'm just saying all of this to say your own desires get wrapped up into what you think is God. And it is good to have people, because I still do believe that your friends, your family, and even your spiritual mentors can give you their opinion to help you see possibly something that you're not seeing. Not that you're supposed to take their word as the gospel. You should be able to hear from God yourself and just use other people to find out their opinion casually. You're not saying that what they think is going to trump what you think. They're not controlling you or telling you what you need to do, but you can get their opinion. I have three older sisters, and I do value their opinion, and I did want them to meet any man that I was seriously considering to become my husband, not because I was going to let them make the decision for me, but because I genuinely valued what they thought, and I knew that as older women with more knowledge and more wisdom and experience, they might be able to see something that I wasn't seeing, and I was very happy when they liked my now husband. If they had seen something that I couldn't see, I was going to pay attention to what they had to say. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I was going to dump him if they didn't like him. But I was looking out just to see what their opinion was. And you should do that with your family and with your friends whose opinion you value. Some of your friends aren't making any wiser decisions than you are, so you really can't go by them. But if you have some that you consider to be wise, then you might want to find out what they think about this guy that you're dating, if it's going somewhere, if it seems like it's getting serious. But casually, like I said, you don't want to say, oh, I want to know what you think about him. You might just want to have something where you invite all of them and just see how they respond to him and see what they tell you later. They don't even have to know that you're really trying to get their opinion. So there were also the case, this also happened in that church that I've been talking about. There were women in that church who were persuaded to marry men that they wouldn't have even given the time of day. They were told, this is a good guy, he feels like you're his mate. And I don't know all of the details, but I do know that I heard from at least two women that they did not think that that was the Lord, that the Lord was calling them to be with that particular guy, until the pastor pointed out how nice and sweet and all the different qualities that the guy had and how he felt like it was the Lord and how the pastor also felt like it was the Lord. And then that woman got in line with what they thought and married him. And I remember when I heard that, I also thought something was wrong. And then you had women that found out about that happening and then got afraid that the Lord was going to put them with someone that they didn't really want. Ladies, do not think that the Lord is going to put you with somebody that you have no attraction to, that you don't want in any way, but that that's going to be God's will, that he's like punishing you with this person. That, no. And if anybody is trying to make you date somebody and you have nothing for them, don't do it. Do not do it. Now, there might be cases where you're overlooking the good guys because you like the bad guys, and I'm actually going to do a show on bad boys, and we'll talk about that a little bit more then. But if you already know the way that you've been picking has been a problem and that you tend to lean more towards the men who don't treat you well and somebody is trying to encourage you to date guys who are the good ones, who are the nice, sweet ones, then that's different. I'm not saying that. But in general, nobody should be forcing you or trying to intimidate you into dating someone else. So if there is a leader who's guilting you or trying to control you in any way, I say run fast. All right. God is good. He's not going to put you with the dog. He's going to give you options. I believe that the Lord shows us who our options are, and there may be several. But don't always be looking for a confirmation or a sign. Be confident that if you are prayerful, you can hear the Lord yourself on whether this person is an option for you or not. And I'm going to go back to some of the ways that I said might help you. Let me go back. Here are some of the guidelines that I said in part one, and I'm going to repeat them now. The Lord can show you somebody and tell you that this person is a good option for you. I don't believe he's going to say this is your only option, because I believe you have several options. And even that minister, the Nehemiah minister, who was talking about the song, he said that some of the people that had used that very song that said God showed them their mate are now divorced. So what does that mean about God putting them together with that person? The fact that they divorced them, does that mean that they were wrong about hearing the Lord about that person? Or does that mean that that person was one of their options, but they didn't make it work? So you have to be careful about that kind of stuff, because if you're going around telling people, oh, the Lord put us together, and then you divorce, what is that saying to other people about how the Lord puts them together? That was another thing that the minister said in his article. People that had used that song are now divorced. And what did that mean? So back to some of the guidelines. If you do not know the person at all or even have a relationship with them already, it is not likely that the Lord is going to be telling you that that person is your mate. If no one else thinks that it's true, it probably isn't. And then if the person doesn't agree, it's definitely not going to happen. Like with that second guy, the roommate, to the guy that I was interested in, he told the pastor that he believed that I was his mate. And I knew that wasn't true. I had no desire to be with him that way. So that was not going to happen, even if the pastor had tried to convince me. Recognize that you could be wrong. If you think you're hearing the Lord on a person, recognize that you could be wrong. So don't put too much stock in it. Just wait and see if it's going to come to pass. Don't do anything foolish, as I said before, like going to purchase your wedding dress, or like I said with the girl in the book, she had even went and got a marriage license. Even though the guy wasn't even dating her, she felt like she was stepping out on faith, but really that was being foolish. Don't do those kind of things. Just enjoy the ride of dating, getting to know the opposite sex. And like I said, stay prayerful about everybody and everything and any choices that you make. Just pray, generally stay in prayer about your life, and things will work out. Now, I'll tell you, even with me and my marriage, I didn't know if my husband was the one. All I knew is that I felt comfortable with him. I loved him. I liked what I saw. And I was continuing to keep going. At every step, you just keep going. I had certain timelines about dating that I believed to sticking to, and he met those. For example, I thought the 2-year mark should be the end. Either you end it or you get engaged. And we ended up getting engaged. So that was like a sign that we were to keep going. But even through the planning of the wedding, at any time, either one of us could have decided no on the relationship or no on getting married. So you have to know that too, that at any point, the other person can back out or decide they don't want to do this. Even up until the day of the wedding, I was seeking the Lord about whether I was making the right decision. And I felt a peace. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't get any other kind of sign, except that everybody else was happy for us and everybody else was on board with it. And I felt a peace. I didn't hear the voice of God saying, "This is your husband." But also, like I said, your family and your friends are sometimes a good indicator that you're going in the right direction with a person. Do they like him? Do they think you belong together? I remember there was one particular wedding that I was in, and I did not realize that the people, some of the other people that were even in the wedding and the wedding party, did not think that that wedding should take place. It was really a weird vibe, too, and I was wondering what was going on because I was really from out of town. This was a college friend of mine who had invited me to be in the wedding. I hadn't been around her and her fiancé in person very long. I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes, but I remember it was kind of weird. Like, people were whispering, and people were shaking their heads, and it was really crazy. And I found out later that half the people in the wedding party did not think that couple should get married. They knew that they fought a lot. They knew a lot about their issues, and they really didn't think that they should get married. Either that they weren't ready to get married, or they shouldn't get married at all. And I think that some people had voiced their concerns to the bride and groom, but it fell on deaf ears. And not a surprise, but that couple is now divorced. So, I just said that to say, do other people think that you two belong together? That could be a confirmation or a way to know other people's opinions. But because of that church that I was a part of, I don't put a whole lot of stock in what others have to say. You have to hear the Lord for yourself. And the Lord might be saying that this person is an option, but that also means you could have other options. I do not believe that you only have one option. And I also gave the example with Stephanie Mae Wilson, the author of The Lipstick Gospel. She said that she believes that God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice on everything else. So why wouldn't he give us a choice on who we marry? Now, I do believe that who we marry is the second most important decision that you will make. The first being, of course, to accept the Lord into your life and to walk with him. Then the second most important choice would be who you're going to marry. And he does have something to say about that. But he's not going to force one person on you and one person only. All right, so this might require you to go back to the drawing board if you had these preconceived notions about dating and marriage and how the Lord puts you with the person that you're going to marry. That's really your choice. I think he will bring different people into your life, and those people will be your options. And you get to choose which one is the best fit. And he'll help you make that decision in one way or another. It might not come the way that you think, though. It may not be, like I said, this light from heaven, a ray of sunshine shining down on the person, or even something directly in your ear saying, this is your husband. It may be that you feel happy when that person is around. It may be that that person gets you, that you feel like you're home when you're spending time with that person. I do remember when I started dating my now husband, and we started to be exclusive and really focusing on just each other. I remember feeling when I was with him that nothing else really mattered. My job didn't really matter. Where I lived didn't really matter. It was important when we were together. It really felt like this is what really matters. And that's a sign. That is a sign that the person that you're with is the right person. If you're having trouble, if you're dating somebody and you really just don't know, you can talk with me. I'm a dating coach, and I can help you figure out if this is a good person for you to marry, if this is one of your options. And if you haven't seen a red flag or felt no, or heard no in any way, then maybe you are to keep going and to just see what happens. But I can help you with that. You will also get help if you join my Meeting Mr. Right group or my Married in 2 Years or Less program, where I'm working with this group of ladies on their love lives. We have conference calls. We meet in person. I also talk with them for a one-on-one personal call to find out what's happening and to answer any questions that they have. They also have a partner or someone that can help them specifically if they want to go somewhere, meet people. They have like a dating partner. And you can find out more about this in my web store at kikistrickland.com, or you can email me at info@kikistrickland.com for more on my services or groups. All right, I hope this has been helpful. I do want to hear your comments and questions. Thank you for joining me. And like I said, shoot me an email. Let me know how this went for you. And in the meantime, happy dating.
We hope you have enjoyed Dating Talk with Kiki Strickland. Join us next week, same time, same place, and please tell a friend. Visit www.kikistrickland.com for show topics and more information about the matchmaker and dating coach. God bless.